for a minute, I want you to imagine that you're in your car and you're listening to the radio, and you're like, oh, I don't really like this song. I want to change the station. So you look away just for a few seconds, and you change the stations on the radio. And the next thing you know, you slam into the back of another car. This is an example of how us as humans get so easily distracted a lot. You know, everyone gets distracted all the time. I know I get distracted a lot by lots of different things. Whenever I'm working, whenever I'm doing schoolwork, whatever I'm doing, I'm always getting distracted. And in this world, there are so many distractions from our spiritual journey everywhere. I'm going to start this morning by sharing with you a few distractions which are very prominent in our lives. The first distraction is money. And probably some of you are being distracted right now by looking at all those $100 bills up there. And you're counting all of them. I wonder how much money that is up there. Anyways, money, we all need money to live and survive in this world. And in 1 Timothy 6:10, it says that money isn't the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And so it's not the money itself that is the distraction, but the way that we use it. So money can be very good, but it can be a distraction as well. And some people become slaves to it. You know, they can use it for so many bad things. Money can be used to support an addiction like drunkenness or gambling. And one very bad thing that can come from money is greed. And a lot of people are affected by this. You know, people want more and more money, and they're willing to, you know, do things that they wouldn't normally do to get money. They'll, you know, go rob banks or and do things like that. Now, not all of us are robbing banks, but, like, you know, we get this new, like, 47-inch TV, and we're like, oh, this is so great. And then there's a 72-inch TV that comes out, and you're like, oh, I want that. And you just want more and more, and you're never satisfied with what you have. And so money, although necessary in our lives, can be a big distraction. The next distraction is media. Now, this wasn't talked about a lot in the Bible because there was not iPads, phones, TV, things like that. But as technology has gotten better over the years, we have these devices. And the media has impacted our society so greatly that everyone everywhere is affected by it in some way. Let me clarify what I mean by media. It includes video games, television, internet, music, newspapers, magazines, phones, and a long list of other things. And the media is very powerful. And there are many good things about the media, like our Bible applications, which we can use to access the Bible anywhere at any time. And you know, just the other day, me and William were studying at Starbucks, and we were using our iPads the whole time to access the Bible and to get any other information that we needed. And then on our way out of that Starbucks, there was a guy sitting behind us, at the table behind us, and he had overheard us studying. And he said, where do you guys go to church? And the guy had his laptop with him, and Will told him, you know, we go to Lakeshore Church of Christ. And he showed him the website, and right there he was able to type it in and had access to all of that information. That is a great use of media. So there are great things that can be done with media. But often we don't use it for those things. We put off spiritual things. And we use our time on things that don't really matter, ultimately. And also the media is dangerous because it's so easy to get consumed in. And you also have to be careful what you watch, you read, and you play, because there are many bad things in the media. We all know that there are many immoral TV shows and movies and video games and things like that. And the key behind all this is ultimately what you do with the media and how much time you take away from other things and use it on that. And so media can be a big distraction in our lives as well. And the third distraction is church. You know, some people believe that our life as Christians is focused and revolves around going to church every Sunday, even though this is just a small part of who a Christian is as a person. And so sometimes it can be an interference in our walk with God. Now, don't get me wrong, church is great. By gathering together here, we're able to worship and meditate and focus on God and encourage each other. But sometimes we put too much emphasis on church instead of God himself. And sometimes we just focus too much more on the details of our service more than our relationship with him. And you know, Christianity is not something that we like, we just go to church on Sunday so we can mark a box on our to-do list for the week, and then we're good. And you know, we're like, okay, well, God told us if we go to church every Sunday, then we get to go to heaven. That's why we're doing this. This is, Christianity is a lifestyle. It's something that is with you every day of your life, and every choice that you make is impacted by your beliefs. And so church sometimes can be a distraction from our main focus as Christians. So there are just a few distractions that we all experience in our lives. And the problem behind all of this is that we just become very focused on our short time here on earth. I mean, think about eternity compared to our little amount of time that we have here. 80 to 100 years, you know, a lot of times less for some people. And, you know, in comparison to forever. Okay, so now I want you to imagine that this rope never ends. It goes on forever, okay? So it begins right here, and it just goes on forever in this other direction. And this is a timeline of your whole existence as a human. We exist forever. And it begins right here with this little red piece of duct tape on here. This represents our time on Earth. So you've got a few short years on Earth, and then you have all of eternity somewhere else. And what's crazy is that some people just focus on this little red part and nothing else. They just get so consumed with it. And like, I can't wait till I get right here, and then I'm gonna work really hard. Oops. I'm gonna work really hard until I get right here, and then I'm gonna, so I can really enjoy this part right here. And you know, we're so worried about this. Am I gonna be able to do this in my life? Am I gonna be able to do this? Am I gonna be able to do this? You know, what about all this? What about all of this never-ending eternity that's gonna go on forever? This is just a small part of our journey. And you know, that's just crazy because the Bible teaches that what we do here in this little bit of time determines how we're going to exist for millions and millions of years. So why should we spend this time trying to make ourselves as comfortable as possible when we have better things that we could be doing? And all of our actions and our choices should be the result of us looking forward and focusing on that moment when we will see Jesus our Lord at the end of time. In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And these words were spoken by Jesus during the Sermon on the Mount. And just think about what he's saying here. Think about how we waste our time on things like the media. And we just waste it. We're putting all of our stock on things here on earth, but they're not going to last. And we just get distracted by all these physical things because this world is all we've ever known. So we just get so distracted by all these different things. Now I want to share with you a quote from Scott Smelser, who said, "You never see a U-Haul following a hearse." Now think about what this means. Okay? This is pretty much saying you can't take anything with you when you leave. Why do you never see a U-Haul following a hearse? Because you don't see a person that's going to be buried with their life savings and in their couch and their like favorite chair and all these different things, because it's no use to them once they die. They can't use that. And you know, whether you are like a billionaire or you're a completely poor person, at the end of your life, none of that matters. None of that matters. And you, like Job said, when he was suffering the loss of so many different things, all of his children had died. He lost all of his possessions. And he lost all of his servants. And he was afflicted with all these different diseases that caused him constant pain. He said, "Naked I came into this world, and naked I will return." And we have to always remember that. And like Jesus said, we need to store treasures up in heaven. Because if we just store things on earth, we're going to be disappointed. In 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27, say, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." And like Paul says in these verses, we must be like racers running to win. And along the way, there are going to be many distractions, but we have to stay focused on our spiritual walk, on heaven. And you know, some people out there, actually a lot of people, are just running aimlessly. There are people that believe that by random chance, everything exploded into existence. And through millions and millions of years of natural selection, we as humans came to exist, and we were just that animal that was lucky enough to have the ability to reason and think and observe the world around us. And they don't think that they have a purpose. They think that their goal in life and their purpose is just to satisfy themselves, to make themselves comfortable, to do whatever it is they want to do, because they're just another animal. But you know, as Christians, we know that we have a greater purpose and a goal to our lives. And now, after I have said all of these things, don't look at the past. Do not stay focused on the past. You know, we always look back at the past and we say, you know, I'm sorry that I did this. We're sorry about things that we've done in the past. But if we just look at the past, we're just going to get depressed about decisions that we might have made. We need to just focus entirely on the future, because all that really matters is that moment when we're going to see Jesus our Lord, and that should be our focus throughout our lives. We shouldn't be so distracted by these things around us. And we're about to sing this song, "This World Is Not My Home." And as we sing this, I want you to think about what I've told you today. We are just here for a little while. This world isn't our home, and we are only here temporarily for just a few years. And if you haven't made the decision to follow Jesus and be baptized, there is still time. But let me tell you, we do not know how much time we have. We do not know what's going to happen any moment of our lives. We don't know if we have tomorrow. Jesus could come at any time, or any of our lives could end at any time. So don't hesitate. If you're ready to make that decision, make it now. So if you would like to give your life to Christ, or if we can help you in any other way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise drills back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
So I'll remain standing for just a moment and we'll be dismissed with a closing prayer. Before that, just a couple of quick things. First of all, Kevin, thank you so much for your lesson. You did a great job. And it's such an inspiration, isn't it, to see a young man like that stand up for the church and teach. And so we really appreciate that and excited for him. Something I saw that was really neat. I was sitting over there and kind of looking over this way, and as soon as he went back and stood, I saw his brother over there wink at him, you know, kind of give him a thumbs up. I thought that was pretty good. I know Jeff and Polly are proud of their sons, but that was a good lesson for all of us to think about, so practical, really important. And so thank you so much for what you had to say. Remind everybody about the opportunity tonight. Come back to 4:30. We'll be meeting for our special worship and song, and get to see some old friends, as well as hear a lesson from William. He's going to be talking about the topic of prayer, so important, and just a great opportunity. This will be a great time to bring some friends or family or whoever you can, bring them to the church and let us get to know them. I'll ask,